the tabletop. Take away
game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop. Take away.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
And I'm Charlie McCarran.
And we're moving on to our second game in the Miniatures War Game series with Necromolds. This is a very goofy game where you are effectively using Play-Doh to create your armies. You have a finite amount of Play-Doh you get to use. I'm saying Play-Doh. It's not actually called Play-Doh in the game because I'm pretty sure that's a trademark.
Spell clay.
Spell clay. Thank you. Spell clay. That is basically your resource. So like Ananda in the last episode was talking about having a point cost for every unit that you have on the field for Heroescape. This one, you actually just have an amount of spell clay you get to use. And the units are different sizes and take up different volumes of the clay. So at the beginning of the game, you set up your army as much as you think you're going to have of each of the units. You have three units you get to choose from. Your opponent has the same three units, and you just build your army, and then you start. The game is very simple. You're going to roll, I believe they're called combat dice or command dice?
Command dice.
Command dice.
Yeah.
So you each roll four of the dice, and that determines what kind of actions you can do. And each of the cards, each of the creatures has a type of action associated with each die face, and that allows you to move or shoot or do magic, and then you're going to discard dice if you don't want to use them, and then that can give you rerolls. If you discard magic, that gets you gems. Gems lets you add more dice to your combat rolls. There's actually quite a lot going on in the game, but when you're playing it, it's very simple. It's very straightforward, very clear to see. But then when you go into combat, you just run into your enemy. They fight each other. You both roll dice. If you have more attack and you're attacking, then they die. If they have more defense and you're attacking, then you die. If you equal each other, then you both die. And when you die, there's little rings, little signet rings that you push the clay into the board, and then they're just splatted, and people or other creatures cannot stand on that space. It's a very, very goofy game. Also, when you activate a die, I didn't say this, all of the units of that type perform that action, whatever the action mm-hmm. happens to be.
Which is very different from Heroescape last time because
right.
Depending on how many units of that type, you could get a lot of actions or very few.
Yep. Yeah, I thought this game was much more enjoyable than I was expecting. I was very excited to play through this one. I thought it was hilarious. You know, they have some simple kind of landscape things to create walls. And I almost won. I was so close after a dramatic comeback and having Charlie and Ananda reversing me, but we had the same armies. Like, it was just one-on-one, basically.
Yep. Yeah, this one, I instantly loved that idea of the amount of clay you have is how much... is your pool of unit. And, you know, the volume measurement of how many each could fit. And it felt like, you know, as you're crafting these guys, like, I felt like I was in Lord of the Rings, like, making Uruk-hai out of
pulling them out of the stuff,
clay.
The muck.
Yeah. So very fun. The most fun, mini creations I've seen for a game.
Well,
like, some people paint their minis, but this one, you'd get to just, like, instantly blob them together, and it's so quick.
I mean, it's great because you can have all these detailed minis and you can have as many of them as you like.
Yeah.
You don't have to go out and buy more copies of the same thing.
Yeah.
All you need is one mold spell book and then you can just mass produce units.
Yeah.
And, you know, each one had different stats just like Heroescape and played a little bit differently.
I was surprised because they don't seem that different when you look at them.
Yeah.
Like, only one of the ones that we played with even had a special ability.
Right.
And it was a very simple ability where just it doesn't... Normally they die. If they tie in melee combat, they die normally. They both die, but this one didn't die on a tie.
Yeah, it has to be beaten in order to be destroyed.
Right. Well, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. I think I think my favorite thing about the game, maybe, which might lead into my takeaway, early takeaway here.
right off the gate, oh, I don't know.
I love the melee mechanics
yeah.
for a number of reasons. First of all, the notion that moving into combat automatically causes melee
yeah.
is super cool.
You don't have to spend an action or a dice.
Right.
You just move.
It's part of the same thing.
Yeah.
And melee combat guarantees that one of the two characters is going to die.
Someone's going to die. It might be both of
them. Oh, yeah.
Which is amazing, actually. Yeah. It keeps the game moving. You don't have, like, failed melee combats. It means that you don't need engagement mechanics at all because right. you're never engaged with anyone. The moment you move into melee, someone dies. it also makes it feel very different than ranged combat.
Yeah.
Because ranged combat, they can't counterattack. Melee combat, they can. So that is a in HeroScape, melee and ranged combat are basically the same. It's just ranged combat; you're shooting them from right. distance. But in this game, it's like fundamentally a different thing. The risks are completely different.
Oh yeah,
and
it's like chess. I'll always bring up chess, but as we talked about in that episode, you know, it's nice when you can just do move and instantly takes something. But this is like that, but you get the fun of rolling dice and to see what's going to happen. And for me, like, the fun part that I realized is this little rule that's called, like, gem rage. Yeah, because sometimes the dice just roll gems, which are kind of helping you power up and get more dice.
Yeah.
But there's a thing called gem rage where you can just spend a gem or two, reroll dice, and only as the attacker.
Yeah.
And just calling that effect gem rage is just funny to me.
So yeah.
I think they hit on some just like core fun things like rolling dice, making Play-Doh, having like... There's also a big lore book.
Oh my God.
It's bigger than the rule book.
It's bigger than the rule book.
And very dense text.
Yeah. You can tell it's like a labor of love kind of project too.
Yeah. The gems are, I mean, they're great as a catch-up mechanic.
Yeah.
I think, which is primarily what they are. You gain gems whenever your guys die.
And it's based on the number of dice that you rolled, and you can get more dice that you roll by spending gems.
Yeah.
So you actually get refunded some of the gems that you spent if you lose, which is just kind of nice.
Yeah, it's... Again, just like going with what's the most fun thing that can happen? Oh, you just get...
Roll more dice,
get more gems. And the thing that in HeroScape I mentioned, like it's nice to have, oh, there's a timer on this. There's mm-hmm. a objective point that you had to hit. This one doesn't have that. Like we could, in theory... One person could keep running away, which Trevor tried to.
He was running away.
I was tactfully retreating.
Yeah. But the game is so light and funny that you kind of just like, nah, don't be a coward. Come face me. And eventually at some point you're going to just smash into each other. And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At some point it's bound to happen.
Yep.
I think, you know, honestly, and I didn't talk about it at all, the measurement tool... And there being 3 degrees of measurement, which is close, medium, and far. I can't remember what they actually are called. Yeah. But I actually, in my RPG that I've been working on, have the exact same concept of these 3 different things, almost triangulated in the same way. Which is just, it's cool seeing that in action. The tool itself is maybe a little hard to use sometimes because you can't get exact. But because it's so light and goofy, you're not worried about exact, like, you know... fractions of an inch of placement. You just want to make sure, can I bump into him? Yeah, I can bump into him. Great, we're going to attack.
Do you have a place to stand among all these, clay corpses all over the place?
Yeah. The rule that you can't stand on corpses actually ended up being very relevant.
Yeah.
Because after a while, there's so many corpses on the battlefield, it actually gets kind of hard to move.
Yeah, and because we did like a straight line-to-line attack, they just had a line of corpses... It's like, oh, that's an obstacle now. That's great.
Yeah. So I guess circling back a little bit to moving all the units at once versus one at a time. One interesting thing is this game has a counterattack system.
Yeah.
And HeroScape mostly does not, except for some
special
units.
Abilities.
Yeah, except for special abilities. And I think if you want a system where your whole army moves at the same time, I think you need some form of counterattack. The reason for that is that if there's no counterattacks and you have the larger army and you're moving, you're moving everyone at once, so more pieces means more actions, as it does in Necromolds, then if there's no counterattacks, you're just going to snowball into victory.
Right.
Counterattacks balance this a little bit because whenever you attack your opponent, they are also attacking you back.
Even though, like, the defense shields are less probable on the die.
Yeah.
At least less numerous, I should say.
Right. It's...
Yeah, it still results in that kind of threat of, oh, if I do this, I may lose this piece.
Right.
Which is great.
Yeah, and it's like it's balancing out the action disadvantage.
Yeah.
And in HeroScape, you don't need that because it's one move at a time. And in this game, it's multiple moves at a time, so you do need that. And thinking of other games that where you move your whole army, like Battle for Wesnith is a computer game, and in Battle for Wesnith, you move your whole army at once, and there's counterattacks. So I think if you want your game to move your whole army at a time, you need some form of counterattack in it to balance out the action disadvantage.
Or, so I'm looking at a game right now. Feudal was an old 3M game, actually. And that is, imagine chess, but you move all your pieces at once if you want. but the board is very massive and there's like some terrain and mountains that block. And you place all your people behind a screen before you play. Mm. So there's a little bit of just like you have so many units that moving them all at once isn't quite as insane as like if you were actually moving all your chess pieces at once.
Right.
But yeah, that one's a weird case too, where it's like can also be a 6-player game.
Wow.
Where there's 3 people on a team on each team. And it's just utter chaos sometimes. But yeah, no counterattacking in that. It's just you have to, I guess there's, in a way, a counterattack where if you move in to kill something, you're then vulnerable next turn to being, just like in chess, like you put yourself out there, you're likely to get taken by another piece. So you just have to have a lot of pieces to make that work. So. Takeaways?
Well, I think, I guess I didn't articulate exactly what my takeaway is, but I think my takeaway is I really love the interpretation of melee combat, that the difference between melee and range is I like the melee combat where it triggers automatically when you move adjacent to your opponent, and one of you is going to die.
Yeah.
I think that is probably my takeaway.
I like that one. That's a really good point of this.
It feels melee. It feels very melee, and it distinguishes itself well from ranged combat.
Right, which is hard to do with range sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I think the smash into the melee combat is my takeaway.
My takeaway is actually going to be the gems, because I thought that was a really cool mechanic where you can have this kind of income of gems coming in either through dice or losing, units. And then you can bolster specific actions at specific times by increasing the number of dice that you have. And it just gives you so much more agency over kind of what you're trying to do. Because like, I was collecting gems towards the end. Like, you guys slaughtered most of my army. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if it's going to work. And then I was just looking at my gem pool just keep going up. And then I rolled, like, 3 gems on one of my things. I'm like, oh, I might be able to do this if I could just time everything right. And I almost did. I was so close. But yes, I love the idea of having this resource that can augment what you're trying to do during the game universally. And so it's like universally, like if it was in HeroScape, being able to spend this resource just on this extra like +1 to attack this one time would have felt really nice and really cool. I'm sure they have creatures with abilities that do that too or something like that. But like, yeah.
Yeah. I think my takeaway someone has to mention the clay, right?
So yeah.
I'll just say yes. I really love that feeling that you're creating. And it does make me curious of what are the other molds to collect. And I think customizing what your army is by actually building it is very fun. And like, I know, Ananda, you're working on your game Junkernauts. Feels like that too, where, I get to
be creative and
be
fun.
Be creative, yep. Put whatever. This one, it's just deciding which units to build, but like Junkernauts is fun, where you get to customize. And I remember even your early version of that, I enjoyed, where you could actually.
Where you drew them.
Which was just representing what you wanted to do, but you just didn't want to prototype the whole thing yet.
Yeah.
But even the drawing version was very fun to like, this is what my unit's going to look like.
Yeah. I remember when I first learned about necromolds, I just kept going over the idea in my head, trying to think of other applications for this.
Yeah.
I mean, a miniatures war game is an amazing application for Play-Doh molds.
Yeah.
It's
you can smash them afterwards.
Yeah, you get to smash them. The rings are super cool. Also, you press them and they have like one of them is a spider and one of them is like a skull with a snake coming out of it. They're just like leaving little things on the game board. There's so much you could do with that in mini games, but in a miniatures war game. But it's so characteristic of this game.
Oh yeah.
That I don't know how you distinguish it from this.
And I don't know if you need to.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool idea that clearly hadn't been done before, which is awesome.
Yeah. Well, with that wraps up our episode on Necromolds. Tune in next time when we talk about X-Wing.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.